When Fred Craddock was growing up, he remembers the quiet criticism his father had of the church. Craddock would become the professor of preaching at the Candler School of Theology at Emory in Atlanta. But he remembers when he and his mom would come home from church after the Sunday potluck, which ran a little long, his father was always frustrated. But not only that, when the preacher would call the house and ask for Mr. Craddock, his father was cordial on the phone, but when he hung up, he always shook his head and said the same thing. Church doesn't care about me. They just want another name, another pledge. And then when the church would have a revival every summer, the pastor would whisper to the guest preacher, "Why don't you go visit Mr. Craddock?" But his father always said the same thing. The church doesn't care about me. They just want another name, another pledge. His father did one time say something very different. He had been battling significant and multiple health concerns. He had become very weak. He was in the hospital, unable to eat, unable to speak. Craddock, now an adult, flew in to see his father, driving straight from the airport to the hospital. And when he opened up the door to the hospital room, he was shocked at how weak his father had become. So he had a seat next to the hospital bed. And after greeting his father, he looked around the room, which was full of flowers and cards. They were everywhere, filling the window sill on the bedside tables. All of them from people at the church. And Craddock picked up one of the cards and read it out loud for his father to hear. And even though his father could not speak, he leaned over, grabbed the Kleenex box sitting next to the bed, and wrote something on the side of it. It was a line from Shakespeare. "In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story." Craddock leaned over and asked his father, "What is your story, Daddy?" And his father wrote, "I was wrong. The church did indeed care about him." And in his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, urging them to care for one another and for others, calling them to present themselves as a living sacrifice. And of course, that language of sacrifice, we hear it against the backdrop of Paul's life, shaped by the traditions of Judaism, where animal sacrifices were made in the temple in Jerusalem as acts of worship, or the covenant that God made with Abraham was represented by the practice of circumcision. But Paul is writing out of that language so familiar to him, but unfamiliar to those that he is writing to, and he wants to be clear, he's not calling them to continue any of those specific practices. Instead, he's talking about what they pointed to beyond themselves. That what we do with our lives speaks of our faith. That God is calling the church to become the body of Christ. of Christ, offering itself out of love. And every part of the body matters through a variety of gifts, whether it be prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, generosity, leadership, compassion, and that is not an exhaustive list. There are many others. Weeks ago, at our modified, distant, masked version of Passport Kids, we were all gathered out here on the courtyard of the church, and the children were asked, looking up at the church building, which had been empty for weeks, what is it that you love about our church? And there were all of these great answers. And the more they talked, and the more they thought about it, all of these names started to be mentioned, Sunday school teachers and others. And then one child of the church on the top step of the courtyard said, the church is not a building, it's a people. It's people doing small things, giving thanks for one another, holding each other in prayer, writing a note of encouragement, teaching a Sunday school lesson, offering our support and gifts, serving on committees, and many others. It's the many parts as the one body. And if we are not careful, we can lose sight of the power of small things. Like we read in the story of Esther, who faced insurmountable odds, but faced them with her one single voice. That the Jewish people had been scattered when Jerusalem had been destroyed. They were living in exile in Babylon. And Esther would become queen of the Persian Empire, who would eventually take control of Babylon and allow the Jewish people to return home. But first, after she became queen, there was a threat against the lives of the Jewish people that Haman, the king's advisor, had designed this plot to kill all of the Jews. And unfortunately, because of history, we are able to imagine the pain and evil of such a plot. Well, Esther stepped forward and spoke up using her single voice, which changed the outcome of the entire story. That she could have remained silent, but she didn't. That all of us are a small part of a larger story. And in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Who do you say that I am?" With his single voice, he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So Jesus turns to Peter and says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And on that one single sentence, so much has been built. That in the Roman Catholic tradition, of which I am so thankful as it has preserved the history and tradition and faith of the church for centuries, that it traces throughout history the line of the Pope back to that single sentence, that each Pope is a spiritual descendant of Peter. But we have to remember, the church is a people. And this is Peter we are talking about, who up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, when he saw Jesus and Elijah and Moses surrounded by that light, he raised his hand and said, "Let's just stay right here," quickly forgetting about all the other disciples left at the bottom of the mountain. And then, when Jesus started to talk about the suffering that was to come, Peter pulled Jesus to the side and said, "Jesus, you can't talk like that." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And then when Jesus got up from the table and started washing the disciples' feet, Peter refused. He said, "Not my feet." And then after Jesus was arrested, Peter denied even knowing him 3 separate times. That Peter has all the frailty of humanity. So if Peter is the rock on which we build the church, then we are all Peter. And we see this each year when our mission team travels to Brazil to build a church. We see the many members as the one body. That a couple years ago, I was able to go with the mission team, of which I brought no special skills. But if you can put on a pair of work gloves and follow directions, you are a valuable member of the team. Small things, if you can carry bricks from this spot to that spot, if you can stand there and hold this piece of wood steady while somebody cuts it, if you can take a shovel and mix concrete on the side of the street like making mud pies as a kid, you can help build a church with small things. And not only that, we worked alongside our brothers and sisters in Brazil. We were not there to do anything for them. That is not what they needed from us. We were there to work alongside of them and to learn from them. And that sort of dynamic happens each and every week with the people of this place. People doing small things. James Stewart, that well-known preacher of the 20th century from Scotland, says that legend has it, when Leonardo da Vinci was finishing his famous work, The Last Supper, with Jesus gathered around the table with the disciples for the Passover meal, that a friend came to see him to look at the unfinished work. And the friend commented how lovely the 2 silver cups were on the table in front of Jesus. In the finished work, though, there is no silver cups, because Da Vinci was not satisfied with that response. He wanted the focus to be on the face of Jesus and not anything else. That the church might have many roles in our lives, but it only has one focus. Like Jesus asking Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" that we are called to embody the love that we see in Jesus the Christ through the gifts of welcome, prayer, service, and kindness, the gifts of learning and teaching, listening and responding, the gifts of hospitality, generosity, encouragement, and humility, the gifts of reaching out, showing up, and standing alongside others. The church is a people. And we are connected to each other in all of those ways. Because the church is a rock for which none of us can take credit, but for which all of us have a part. Amen.